Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Blacktop Saints, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Long Haul. The highway stretches ahead, an endless black ribbon cutting through the night, a road to nowhere and everywhere all at once. The hum of my rig vibrates through my bones, the steady thrum of 18 wheels chewing up asphalt the only sound in the empty space between me and whatever fate waits at the other end of this run. I've been a trucker damn near my whole life. Started riding with my old man when I was a kid, back when the CB was king, and you could find a good truck stop meal that didn't taste like grease and regret. Back when the road still had a little bit of freedom left in it. That was before the cameras, before the way stations with their goddamn electronic tracking, before you couldn't take a piss without Big Brother knowing about it. But I figured out early that the system only works on men who play by the rules. And I don't play by the rules. I'm Rip, short for Ripley, but nobody calls me that except the folks who knew me before I got into this life, and most of them ain't breathing anymore. Out here, I'm just another long-haul trucker, hauling freight from one end of the country to the other. But if you know the right people, got the right contacts, and don't mind taking a little risk, there's good money to be made outside the system. The kind of money that turns a decent man into a desperate one. The kind that makes you look the other way when a stranger tells you to keep the trailer locked up tight, no questions asked. Tonight, I'm carrying a load that could put me in a grave if I fuck this up. $500,000 in high-grade meth, packed so tight into hidden compartments under the floorboards of my trailer that even the best drug dogs would need a damn miracle to sniff it out. I've run guns, smuggled stolen goods, even moved a few folks over the border back in the day. But drugs. Drugs are where things get real ugly. Cops ain't just looking to throw you in a cage if they catch you with this much weight. The people on the other end of the deal. The ones expecting delivery. If something goes sideways, if I don't make it, if the product don't show up in the condition they expect, they ain't gonna ask for a refund. They'll just send somebody to carve my name into a tombstone. I roll one hand over the steering wheel, stretching out the stiffness in my fingers. My knuckles are scarred, cracked, and rough from years of gripping this wheel, from fights in parking lots, from things I'd rather forget. My left wrist aches from an old break that never healed right. I don't think much about pain anymore. I just keep driving. Beside me, Eva shifts in her seat, her legs tucked up beneath her, her body curled in a way that makes her look smaller than she really is. She's been asleep for the last hour, or at least pretending to be. I don't blame her. The road does that to you, makes you retreat into yourself, into your thoughts. But Eva ain't built for this life. She's got too much softness, too much hope left in her. I met her 6 months ago in a dive bar off I-40, a place where the jukebox still played old country and the bartender poured cheap whiskey like he was doing God's work. She was there alone, drinking a beer and staring at the wall like she was trying to see something the rest of us couldn't. I bought her a drink, cracked a joke, and she smiled like it hurt her to do it. That was all it took. I ain't the kind of man who falls easy. But Eva? She got under my skin quick. She made me feel something I hadn't felt in a long time. Like maybe there was something out there besides the next job, the next payday, the next truck stop meal eaten alone in the dark. She was trouble, though. I knew at the moment she climbed into my cab and didn't ask where we were going. And now she's here, riding shotgun on a run that could end with both of us dead or locked up. I told her not to come. She didn't listen. Her voice is soft when she finally speaks. How much longer? Few more hours. I keep my eyes on the road. She stretches, rolling her shoulders, her shirt riding up just enough to give me a glimpse of bare skin beneath. You ever think about stopping? I glance at her. Stopping what? This. She gestures vaguely at the road, at the truck, at everything. Running. Hauling. Always looking over your shoulder. That's the kind of question that makes my stomach turn. Because the truth is, yeah, I've thought about it. More times than I can count. But it ain't that simple. You don't just walk away from this life. Not unless you want to spend the rest of it buried 6 feet under. Don't see much point in thinking about things that ain't gonna happen, I say. She exhales long and slow. You could, though. We could. Just keep driving. Forget the drop. Go somewhere new. I chuckle, but there ain't no humor in it. Ain't that easy, sweetheart? Why not? I don't answer. Instead, I shift my eyes back to the mirror, scanning the dark stretch of highway behind us. And that's when I see it, the headlights. Two sets. Been trailing us for the last 50 miles, never passing, never backing off. Just hanging there like ghosts in the dark. A cold knot tightens in my gut. That ain't normal. Rip. Eva's voice is softer now. Worried. What's wrong? I don't answer right away. Just grip the wheel a little tighter. Hold on. I kill my headlights for a half second, just enough to see if the cars behind us react. They don't. That's when I know. They ain't just some random travelers sharing the road. They're tailing us. Watching. Waiting. And suddenly, I don't know who I should be more worried about. The headlights in my rear view, or the woman sitting next to me. Because my gut's telling me one thing, loud and clear. Something ain't right. And Eva? She might be the biggest mistake I ever made. Chapter 2. Eyes in the rearview. The road is long and empty, stretching out before me like the slow drag of a cigarette in the dead of night, smoldering quiet, full of the promise of something burning out too soon. The hum of the engine rattles through my bones, but my mind ain't on the road ahead. It's on the two sets of headlights in my mirrors, the ones that won't pass and won't fade away. I know what this is. I've been in the game too long not to recognize a tail when I see one. These ain't just random travelers riding the same stretch of blacktop. These are watchers. Hunters. They're waiting on something, biding their time. That's the part that gets me. If they were law, they'd have made their move by now, flashing blue lights, sirens, maybe a spike strip a few miles up the road to make sure I didn't get any bright ideas about running. But they ain't law. That means they're worse. A chill crawls up my spine, but I keep my face blank, my hands steady on the wheel. I've been in tighter spots than this, and I've come out the other side. But something about tonight don't sit right. The feeling in my gut is turning sour, and I trust my gut more than I trust any man walking this earth. Beside me, Eva shifts in her seat, crossing her legs. I don't look at her, but I can feel her eyes on me, studying me the way a person watches a storm rolling in from the horizon, wondering if it's gonna pass or rip the roof clean off their house. You okay? She asks, her voice soft. I keep my eyes on the road, my fingers drumming slow on the steering wheel. Yeah, just thinking. She leans back, resting her head against the window, watching the landscape blur past in the moonlight. You've been quiet since we left the last stop. Lot on my mind. She nods like she understands, but I don't believe for a second that she does. I flick the headlights off for a half second again, testing my theory. The cars behind us don't react, don't slow, don't speed up. They just keep their distance. I let out a slow breath through my nose. Yeah, this ain't random. I got two options, play dumb and hope they don't make a move, or do something about it before they get the chance. Eva stretches, rubbing her hands over her bare arms. What if we just disappeared? She asks suddenly. I glance at her, keeping my face neutral. Disappeared. She nods. Just kept driving. Didn't stop for the drop. Didn't go back. Just found a place no one could ever find us. I let out a short, humorless laugh. That ain't how this works, sweetheart. Why not? She presses, turning in her seat to face me. You could start over. We could start over. I grip the wheel a little tighter. You don't just walk away from this life. You run until they catch you. And they always catch you. She chews her bottom lip, eyes flicking to the mirror, then back to me. What if I told you I could make sure they never find us? That's the second red flag. The first was the way she pushed to come on this trip. The second is this, planting ideas in my head, trying to make me consider a future that don't exist. I keep my tone even. What exactly are you saying, Eva? She hesitates. Just for a second. But I see it. The way she weighs her words, the way she shifts in her seat like she's suddenly uncomfortable. I'm saying. I know people, she finally says. People who could help. I don't like the sound of that. Not one bit. People like who? I ask. She shrugs. People. Friends. Connections. Connections. That's a word I don't like. I got connections, too, and they ain't the friendly kind. The kind of people I deal with don't help, unless there's a payday involved, and even then, you never stop owing them. So either Eva's full of shit, or she's hiding something. I glance at her hands. They're resting in her lap, but her fingers are twitching. Nervous. Something's wrong. I don't say anything right away. Just let the silence stretch between us, thick like molasses. I want her to feel it. Want her to wonder what I'm thinking. And then she does something that damn near makes my blood run cold. She reaches for her phone. Real casual. Like it's nothing. Like she ain't about to do something that could get us both killed. I see the glow of the screen from the corner of my eye. See the quick movement of her fingers. She don't know I'm watching. She don't know she just signed her fucking death warrant. I keep my voice calm, steady. Who you texting? She jumps a little, like she wasn't expecting me to ask. Huh. I nod toward the phone. Who you texting? She hesitates. Too long. Then she shakes her head. Nobody. Just checking the time. Liar. I don't let my expression change. Don't let her see what I'm thinking. Instead, I ease off the gas, letting the truck slow just a little. The headlights behind us adjust, keeping pace. I need to get off the road. Need to get someplace quiet, someplace I can think, figure this out. Eva ain't who she says she is. That much is clear now. And those cars behind us? They ain't waiting to pull me over. They're waiting for a signal. And something tells me she just gave it to them. Chapter 3, Road to Nowhere. The air inside the cab has changed. It's thick now, heavy, humming with something unspoken but deadly. I can feel it in my bones, in the weight of every breath I take. The space between me and Eva ain't just inches anymore. It's miles of suspicion, lies, and something I ain't ready to name just yet. I keep my grip firm on the wheel, knuckles tight, eyes locked on the stretch of blacktop ahead. But my mind's reeling, spinning in a way that makes my stomach churn. I've been played before. Hustled, lied to, backstabbed by men who smiled in my face and shook my hand before gutting me from behind. But this is different. This is her. Eva. The woman I let into my bed, into my life, into the one place nobody gets to be unless I let em. I should have known better. No, I did know better. I just ignored it. And now I gotta clean up the mess I let in. The headlights behind us are still there. Waiting. Watching. And I know, clear as the goddamn stars above me, I don't got much time before they make their move. I breathe deep, forcing myself to stay calm, to think. My mind's already working out possibilities, exits, contingency plans. I could push the truck hard, see if they keep up, maybe try and outrun him. But that's stupid. This rig wasn't built for speed, and they sure as hell got faster wheels than I do. I could pull into a truck stop, blend in, wait them out. But something tells me they'd follow me right inside, pretend to be friendly, wait until I was alone, and put two in the back of my skull before I even got to take a piss. Nah. I need a real plan. I flick my eyes to Eva again. She's holding her phone tight in her lap now, like she's got something precious in her hands. Something she ain't ready to let go of. I ain't stupid. I know what she did. And if she don't start talking soon, she ain't gonna like where this night ends. The silence between us stretches. She knows I'm thinking. She knows I ain't bought the bullshit story about checking the time. And I know she's waiting. Waiting for me to say something. Waiting for a chance to spin another lie. I don't give it to her. Instead, I take the next exit. Not a truck stop. Not a gas station. Not any place normal. A back road. An old service road I used to run years ago. Back when I needed to lie low for a while. When I was moving cargo that came in wooden crates with Russian writing on the side. Eva sits up straighter. Where are we going? I keep my voice even. Shortcut. She don't buy it. I see it in the way she shifts in her seat, the way her fingers tighten around that phone, the way she wets her lips before speaking again. This doesn't look like a shortcut. I shrug. Depends on where you're headed. She swallows. Rip. Put the phone down. Her fingers twitch. She don't move. I reach over and snatch it from her hands so fast she don't have time to react. She gasps, grabbing for it, but I shove it between my leg and the seat, keeping it out of her reach. What the fuck? She snaps, panic flaring in her eyes now. Give that back. I keep driving, calm as hell, like I didn't just steal the key to whatever plan she's been setting up. I unlock the screen. She didn't even bother putting a password on it. That tells me something right there. She wanted quick access. She didn't think she'd have to hide anything. Her last message is still open. DEA handler. He's turning off. Stay calm. We're right behind you. I read it. Read it again. Then I let out a long, slow breath. DEA. Eva ain't just some girl who got tangled up with the wrong guy. She ain't just some woman looking for a way out. She's a fucking fed. A goddamn snake. And I brought her into my truck. Into my goddamn life. I pressed my thumb to the side of my jaw, biting back the kind of rage that could make me do something real ugly. My grip on the wheel tightens. My heart's thudding hard against my ribs. Loud enough I swear she can hear it. She don't say nothing. Just sits there, breathing fast, watching me like she don't know what I'm about to do. Good. She should be scared. Because right now, I ain't real sure what's about to happen next either. The back road is empty, dark as sin, the trees lining either side casting long, twisted shadows in the moonlight. Perfect. Ain't nobody gonna find us out here. I slow the rig down, pulling it onto a dirt patch off the main stretch. Kill the engine. Silence crashes in so thick it makes my ears ring. Eva shifts again. Rip. Listen. I move fast. Too fast for her to react. I grab the roll of duct tape from the dash, yank her hands forward, and wrap the tape tight around her wrists before she can fight back. She screams, but I don't flinch. Just keep going, binding her ankles next. She thrashes, kicking at me, but I ain't some soft city boy who don't know how to handle a woman when she gets rowdy. I've wrestled men twice my size in truck stop parking lots, beaten the piss out of guys who tried to stiff me on a deal. Eva? She don't stand a fucking chance. I slam her back against the seat, one hand gripping her jaw so tight her teeth clack together. Her breath's coming fast now, her chest heaving, eyes blown wide with fear. Good. I lean in close. So this was the plan, huh? I murmur, voice low, steady. Play the part, get close, make me trust you? That how they trained you? She shakes her head fast. Rip, no, it's not like that. Don't fucking lie to me. My grip tightens. I saw the text. You think I'm stupid? Tears spill over her cheeks. I didn't have a choice. I laugh. A short, sharp, bitter thing. There's always a choice, sweetheart. And you made yours. She's sobbing now. Good. I push back, rolling my shoulders, breathing deep through my nose. My mind's racing, trying to figure out my next move. I should kill her. That's what I should do. She's seen too much. She knows too much. If I let her live, if I let her go, she'll put a bullet in my back the second she gets the chance. I know how this game works. Only one of us is walking away from this. I glance out the windshield. The headlights in the distance are getting closer. Tick-tock. I need to make a decision. Now. I look back at Eva, her lips trembling, tears streaking her face, fear written all over her. For the first time since I met her, she ain't playing me. For the first time, I think she actually understands what I am. I reach for my gun, cock the hammer back, and make my choice. Chapter 4. The Devil's Detour. The weight of the gun in my hand feels different tonight. It ain't just another tool, another means to an end. No, this time it's heavier. Loaded not just with lead, but with something more. Something sharp and gutting. Betrayal. Eva's breathing comes in quick, panicked gasps. Her chest rises and falls in frantic rhythm, eyes flicking between the muzzle aimed at her and my face. I know she's searching, searching for some crack, some hesitation, some reason to believe I won't do what I know I should. She don't find it. Because the truth is, I don't hesitate. Not in this life. Not when the stakes are this high. She made her choice. Now I gotta make mine. I adjust my grip, keeping the barrel steady. The night outside is thick with silence, the kind that creeps into your bones, the kind that makes even the trees seem like they're holding their breath. The headlights in the distance inch closer, their glow stretching long and thin against the dirt road, casting eerie shapes through the cab windows. Time's almost up. I should end it now. Should squeeze the trigger and be done with it. But I don't. Not yet. Instead, I lean in, just enough so she feels my breath against her cheek. My voice is quiet, deadly calm. Tell me the truth, Eva. She swallows hard. Rip, please. I press the gun harder against her ribs. She gasps, her body jerking in the seat. The truth. She squeezes her eyes shut, like she's trying to will herself somewhere else, anywhere but here. But there ain't no escaping this. Ain't no rewinding the clock. She shudders. Then finally, finally, she cracks. I, her voice catches. She takes a ragged breath. I was sent in to get close to you. To gather intel. The DEA's been building a case on your runs for months. I don't move. Don't blink. She sniffs, shaking her head, looking right at me now, eyes glassy. But I didn't know I'd fall for you. I laugh. A sharp, bitter sound. That what you tell all the guys you set up? Her face twists in pain. It's not like that. Then what's it like? I tilt my head. Explain it to me, sweetheart. Make me understand how the fuck I'm supposed to believe a single word coming out of your mouth. She doesn't answer. She can't answer. Because we both know the truth. She's a liar. A federal. A goddamn traitor. And I was stupid enough to let her into my world. I let the silence stretch between us, thick and suffocating. The gun stays pressed against her ribs, but my finger ain't on the trigger anymore. Not because I'm sparing her. Because I need a better plan. Killing her? That's easy. Too easy. But making her useful? That's the real trick. The sound of tires crunching gravel makes my ears prick up. They're here. Fuck. I move fast. One hand grabs Eva by the jaw, forcing her to look at me. You wanna live? I whisper. She nods, a single, desperate motion. Then listen real fucking close. I drop the gun, snatch my knife from the glove box, and slice through the duct tape binding her wrists and ankles. She flinches but doesn't move. Her hands tremble as she rubs at the raw skin where the tape tore into her flesh. I point a finger in her face. You're gonna do exactly what I say. No questions. No second guessing. You so much as hesitate, I put a bullet in you myself. You hear me? Another nod. Good. I grab her phone, thumb through the messages. There's more than one from her handler. They're coming in hot. Ready to move. Not if I move first. I delete the thread, then type out a new message. Eva, no go. He's too suspicious. Pulled off the road. Heading west toward Tennessee. I hit send. Eva's eyes widen. What are you doing? I grin. Buying us time. The first car pulls up slow, creeping toward my rig with the kind of patience that makes my skin crawl. The second vehicle, a black SUV, hangs back, idling on the shoulder, waiting. Watching. Two men step out. They're not uniformed cops. Not agents with shiny badges. These boys are in plain clothes. Hard-faced. Armed. Undercover. Which means they ain't here to talk. They're here to clean up. Eva stiffens beside me, her breathing sharp. That's not the whole team, she murmurs under her breath. I don't respond. Just reach under my seat and pull out my other gun, the one with the silencer already screwed on. Time to even the playing field. The taller of the two men knocks on my door. I roll the window down just enough to let the cool night air creep inside. His face is unreadable, but his hand stays on his hip, hovering near his gun. Ripley Monroe? I grin. That's what they call me. The man doesn't smile back. Step out of the vehicle. I tilt my head. That an invitation or an order? Don't be a smartass. Step out. I glance at Eva. She's frozen, eyes darting between me and them. I ain't stepping out. That's how you get killed. Instead, I reach up slow, pretending like I'm about to open the door. Then, in a blink, I fire through the gap in the window. Pop. The silencer makes the shot quiet, more of a muffled thump than a bang. But the result is the same. The first agent drops, clutching his throat, gurgling, eyes wide as death rushes in. The second man moves fast, too fast. I barely register the gun before Eva lunges at him. What the fuck? She moves with a quickness that shocks me, wrestling with him, throwing a hard elbow to his ribs. He grunts, stumbles. It ain't enough to take him down, but it's enough to throw him off. I seize the moment. Fire twice. Chest. Head. He's dead before he hits the ground. Eva stares at the body, chest heaving. I don't give her time to think about what she just did. Move. I bark, grabbing her by the wrist, yanking her toward the rig. They'll realize something's wrong in 5 minutes, tops. She stumbles, but I don't slow down. We climb back into the cab. I start the engine, throw it into gear, and floor it. The SUV in the distance suddenly roars to life. Shit. They know. They're coming. Eva's still shaking, hands curled into fists. You just fucking shot them, she breathes, voice barely above a whisper. I don't look at her. Yeah, and I'll do it again. We hit the main road, tires screeching, the speedometer climbing. The SUV's on our ass now. Flashing lights. Sirens. I clench my jaw. This ain't a fight I can win on the road. I need another plan. And I got one. But Eva ain't gonna like it. Because it involves both of us going up in flames. Chapter 5, Blacktop Saints. The speedometer creeps past 80, then 90. The rig ain't built for this, but I don't give a damn. The whole cab rattles like it's coming apart, the weight of the load behind me shifting with every sharp turn, every bump in the blacktop. The SUV's still back there, sirens screaming, blue lights flashing like a death sentence. Eva's white-knuckling the dashboard, her breath coming in quick gasps. Rip. Shut up, I snap, eyes locked on the road. Let me think. 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 I got minutes, maybe less, before they either force me off the road or unload into my windshield. I ain't making it out of this with my freedom. That much is clear. But I'll be goddamned if I let him take me alive. Eva's voice shakes. There's still a way out of this. I laugh bitter and sharp. You still dreaming, sweetheart? That train left the station back when you sent that text. She flinches. I see it, even through my tunnel vision. Good. She should feel that. She should own it. You think I wanted this? She spits, voice rising. You think I had a choice? Yeah, I growl, gripping the wheel tighter. You did. And you fucking chose wrong. The SUV lurches forward, closing the gap. A shot rings out, pop, punching a hole through my side mirror. Fucking hell. They ain't trying to arrest me no more. They're going for the kill. I grip the wheel, yank it hard right, sending the rig swerving across both lanes. The SUV swerves with me, tires screeching, but they don't back off. They're committed now, just like me. Eva's still staring at me, eyes glassy with panic. Rip. I don't let her finish. Instead, I reach over, grab her by the collar, and yank her close. She gasps, eyes going wide. This is where we say goodbye, sweetheart, I murmur. Then I grab the door handle and shove her out. She hits the asphalt hard, rolling, tumbling. I don't watch to see if she gets up. I can't. Because this next part ain't about her. It ain't even about me. It's about finishing this. The SUV doesn't stop for her. They don't even hesitate. That tells me all I need to know. She was a pawn, a disposable piece, and now that she's out of the picture, they're locked on to the real prize, me. I hit the next exit at full speed, barely making the turn. The trailer fishtails, nearly toppling. The SUV follows, grinding pavement, but they don't lose me. Not yet. Doesn't matter. I know exactly where I'm going. The old freight yard. Been abandoned for years. Rusted out tracks, busted warehouses, plenty of places to disappear. I used to use it as a lay-low spot back when I was running weapons for the Dixie Mafia. Now, it's about to be my final stand. The tires screech as I slam into the yard, gravel and dust flying. I barely manage to bring the rig to a stop, the trailer groaning under the weight of the meth stashed inside. I cut the engine. Silence. Just my breathing. Just the wind howling through the skeletal remains of the yard. Then, the SUV skids to a stop, doors flying open. Three men step out. Guns drawn. Showtime. I move fast. The moment they fan out, I drop low, slide out of the cab, and duck behind a rusted-out container. My gun's already in my grip, safety off, heart hammering. They think I'm cornered. They think I'm outnumbered. They don't know who the fuck they're dealing with. The first one moves too fast, too eager. I catch him as he rounds the corner, squeeze the trigger, pop, and he drops like a sack of bricks, blood painting the gravel. The others react, ducking for cover. One shouts something into a radio. I can hear them moving, trying to flank me. Smart. But I'm smarter. I move first. Slide between shadows, keeping my steps light, using the yard like I built the damn place. I see one of them crouched behind an old stack of wooden pallets, his gun aimed at where he thinks I am. I wait. Breathe. Then, I step out and fire. The shot catches him in the chest. He stumbles, gasps, crumples. Two down. One to go. The last one's smarter than the rest. He doesn't charge. Doesn't fire blindly. He waits. So do I. Seconds stretch. Then footsteps. Behind me. Motherfucker. I whirl, just in time to see him lunging, a blade flashing in the dark. I barely dodge in time, the knife slicing across my ribs instead of sinking deep. Pain flares, hot and sharp, but I use it. I grab his wrist, twist hard. The knife drops. I drive my knee into his gut, then slam my elbow into his temple. He stumbles. I grab the knife and bury it in his throat. It's over in seconds. He gurgles, eyes wide, clutching at his neck as blood spills over his hands. Then he drops. And just like that, it's done. I stand there, breathing hard, blood soaking my side. The night is quiet now. No sirens. No more headlights. Just me. Alone. Like always. I wipe the sweat from my face, take one last look at the bodies around me, then move back to the rig. I ain't running. Ain't got nowhere left to go. But I do got one last trick up my sleeve. I open the trailer. See all that meth. A fortune. A kingdom in powder form. And then, I pull the lighter from my pocket. Flick it open. Watch the tiny flame dance. I laugh. One last fucking laugh. Then I toss it inside. The explosion shatters the night. A fireball erupts, lighting up the freight yard like a second sunrise. The blast rips through the trailer, sending metal and debris flying, the air thick with burning chemicals and black smoke. I stand there, watching it burn, feeling the heat lick at my skin. The end of everything. And I smile. Some say there ain't no saints on the blacktop. That truckers like me are just ghosts, wandering from one road to the next, leaving nothing but tire tracks and regrets in our wake. Maybe that's true. But tonight, I just became one. The end.